is up, guys? It's Jordan back with another episode of the 824 Purple and Gold podcast. Going over tonight's game, tonight's battle in the Smoothie King Center against the New Orleans Pelicans. Lakers win 122 to 114, improve their record of 46 and 13. Most wins since, like, what, the 2010 season? Or it was not the lockout season, of course, because it was a shortened season. But again, Lakers back on track with the W. Chess, not checkers. They lose to the Memphis Grizzlies yesterday, and they beat on the New Orleans Pelicans tonight, which allows the Memphis Grizzlies to maintain the 8th seed, which I believe is a much better matchup. Like I mentioned last time, actually last night, is a better matchup for the Lakers. However, nonetheless, the Lakers still sweep the season series against New Orleans Pelicans 4-0, and the Lakers do it in convincing fashion, with LeBron taking over in the fourth quarter, also a team-high plus 22 in the box-minus score. But I want to talk about Kuzma, because Kuzma was second in that plus-minus department with the plus 11. And with Kuzma being a plus 11, you look at his stat line, he didn't shoot particularly efficient. He only shot 8 of 18. But with Anthony Davis out tonight with the sore right knee, just precautionary, just doesn't want to aggravate it. Kuzma playing 35 minutes tonight, only shooting 8 of 18, only shooting 2 of 8 from 3-point country, but grabbing 4 boards, 1 assist, 1 steal. Again, a plus 11. He was an impact player when he was on the floor tonight, and that's something that you want to see with Kuzma, especially. Like, imagine we get this Kuzma when Anthony Davis and LeBron James are playing, and let's say, I don't know, maybe Frank Vogel wants to give him some more minutes with them too. But it's just the minutes with him and Rondo, I feel like it's detrimental to the team. When him and Rondo are receiving minutes at the same time, it's just not beneficial for this Lakers team. And even looking at Rondo, his plus minus, I mean, low impact, not giving much on the floor. Minus 5, Quinn Cook, I mean, he doesn't really get much rhythm going anyways. But Rondo, only 17 minutes. I'm glad he didn't play as much as I thought he would. There was a point in time when it was around the 5-minute mark in the fourth quarter where I thought he was going to close the game out because Rondo was put into the game. And I was just shaking my head because I know if Rondo was going to close the game, then it would not bode well for the Lakers. It would not bode well for the Lakers. It would not be beneficial because he doesn't provide any closing punch. I mean, if you have LeBron James on the floor, you have to give him the ball and you have to surround him with shooters or a center to put in the dunker spot like JaVale McGee or Dwight Howard. Since Anthony Davis was out tonight, again, we needed those two bigs on the floor. Frank Vogel did try going small ball a little bit in the middle of the game, but it did not work at all. I believe that the Pelicans went on like a 6-0 run as soon as we went small ball. They were just attacking the rim, especially with Zion Williamson. Boy, he is an athlete. Again, like last week, I had the chance to see him in person. I had the chance to see the Lakers and the Pelicans at the Staples Center, and Zion is a straight athlete. I mean, 280 plus pounds, jumping out the gym, jumping on a trampoline. It's just he's way too powerful. You look at a guy like Dwight Howard trying to guard him in the post. You know, Dwight Howard, multiple times defensive player of the year, could not handle Zion Williamson when he was attacking the rim. And it seems like this 19-year-old Zion Williamson has all the respect from the refs already at his young age. Respect that we would like to see LeBron James get. I mean, it was like within the first 2 minutes of the game, LeBron, he should have gotten called for a foul. Actually, it was Brandon Ingram who should have gotten a call for a foul on LeBron. Clearly hit him on the arm, but LeBron gets that Shaq treatment. You know, he's so big and strong, and he has been for pretty much his whole career. They don't really, because in reality, in retrospect, I mean, every time he goes to the rim, it should be a foul call. And you're seeing that right now with Zion Williamson, and later on down the line, you're going to see Zion Williamson getting that Shaq treatment where the refs just realize he's just too big and strong, too powerful. And they're not going to give him the calls every single time down the line, down the floor. And that's what you're seeing with LeBron James right now. But Zion Williamson, man, 35 points. Just crazy, a crazy athlete. The only thing is, I see a lot of comparisons with him and LeBron James. They're similar in their athleticism and attacking the rim, the success around the rim. But what Zion does not have is the creativity on offense. What I mean by that, he doesn't really create for his teammates. He needs to have a point guard like Alonzo Ball, a point guard like that that can set him up, create for him, you know, things like that. And you see with a guard like Lonzo Ball, he did a really good job in, I mean, you saw it in even at the game at Staples, Lonzo Ball throwing lobs. They have that chemistry on Pat. They have that chemistry down, it seems, between them two. And it's fun, really fun to see Zion really developing that chemistry with a player like Lonzo Ball. Because Lonzo, all he does is push it up the court. He, as soon as he gets a rebound, and you saw it when he was with the Lakers, he gets a rebound, and if another player even grabs a rebound, he's screaming for the ball tonight. Every single game he plays, he wants a ball as soon as they get possession of it so he can make a nice throw down the court, get easy baskets, easy offensive possessions. And that's the kind of player that thrives with Zion Williamson thrives with a player like Lonzo Ball because he gets that quick, easy, fast transition in a snap. So, and you saw that tonight. Again, Zoe was... I mean, he's one of the fastest point guards in today's NBA. You know, this duo, this trio, actually, with Zoe, B.I., and Brandon Ingram. Oh, sorry. Zion Williamson. Brain fart. Sorry. but that trio is going to be a trio to fear in the future. Not so much this season because they are, you know... a few spots out of the eighth seed, and they really had a slow start to the season, especially with Zion being out for pretty much 60% of the season to begin with. I mean, you're going to look at this team next season as long as these players can stay healthy, because let's be honest, all three of them have had health problems in the past, but as long as these three players can stay healthy for a full season, I do see them as a playoff team, possibly a top six seed in the Western Conference in the future to come. One of those rare win-win trades. Of course, you could say this season, Lakers won a trade. Anthony Davis has been a monster this season. He's been the superstar that LeBron James needs by his side. And you see a player like Anthony Davis just dominating this season, and that's a player you give up the farm for. You give up the farm for Anthony Davis. I don't care how much you had to give up. You give up the farm for a generational talent like Anthony Davis. But for what the Pelicans got in return, now that's a great return, because not only did they get special talents in Zoe and B.I., but they had a chance to pair them up with a player like Zion Williamson. And not only did they get Zoe and B.I., they got Josh Hart, who's an excellent rebounding guard, decent three-point shooter, and they have a plethora of draft picks 4 or 5 years down the line from the Los Angeles Lakers in that deal. So a win-win trade. Pelicans fans, you guys have a bright future ahead of you. So I wouldn't really panic too much this season. I mean, if you guys don't make the playoffs, you guys will still be a team to reckon with in the future. But as a Laker fan, it is sweet to get the season series sweep on the Pelicans, and hopefully we get a first-round matchup, an entertaining first-round matchup with the Pelicans as well. I mean, honestly, I'd much rather see Memphis, but if we do get a season playoff first-round matchup against the Pelicans, it will be extremely entertaining, and I'm not going to be against seeing a playoff series against LeBron James and Zion Williamson, and that will live up to the hype. I really honestly see LeBron averaging like 40 in that series. I honestly do. One thing I would like to touch on, though, I see a lot of a lot of pundits on Twitter saying that the bench is going to get demoralized. The Lakers bench, that is. That this Lakers bench is going to get demoralized come playoff time. But the thing is, in the playoffs, rotations are much, much shorter. And your superstars' minutes are going to be much higher. They're going to be closer to that 40-minute mark rather than the 30-minute mark. So it actually gives me – it makes me more confident, much more confident that the Lakers will be able to take control in a lot of games in the playoffs because LeBron and AD will be on the floor way more often than they are now in the regular season, especially during this last stretch. Barring any catastrophe, the Lakers still have a 6-game lead in the loss column for that number one seed. So barring any catastrophe, any disaster, I do see them maintaining that number one seed. And then towards the end of the regular season, I mention this all the time, you're going to see LeBron and AD getting that load managing, possibly, if they want to, that load managing to get prepared for the playoffs, to be road rested, honestly. Because they're going to need it. They're going to be playing long minutes in the playoffs. And we're going to need them every single minute. Every single minute we have Bron and AD on the floor, it's not going to be fun for the opposing team. It's not going to be fun. But going back to the game, some problems I would like to see shored up, especially. I mean, you had AD out tonight, so there's obviously going to be some problems that are going to be popping up out of nowhere, like the Pelicans killing us on the boards, whether it be the offensive glass or defensive glass, especially in the first half. Derek Favors was just killing the Lakers on the boards. But let me see team stats here. You have the Pelicans out-rebounding the Lakers 52-36. Lakers are a long, athletic team. I wouldn't say too athletic, but they are big. They are long and big. You should not be getting out-rebounded 52-36. And if that number was switched around like it should have been, I believe this win would have been more of a blowout. Lakers shot much better from three-point country tonight than they did last night. They only scored 88, a season low last night. But tonight, they score 122, and they actually had 89, I believe, by the end of the third quarter. So they exceeded that total from last night. Lakers shoot 51% from the field goal. Again, good, decent three-point percentage. Didn't get a ton of free throws, but the Pelicans, man, these refs want to see them in the playoffs. The NBA wants to see Zion in the playoffs. I'm not going to start a conspiracy. They shot 33 free throws, in which they made 27 of them. They got all the calls. Like I mentioned earlier, Zion is getting those calls right now, but later down the line in his career, he will get that Shaq treatment just because how much bigger and stronger he will become as he becomes a veteran in this league. But points in the paint, again, Pelicans 64 to Lakers 60. That's where you get the Lakers shooting better in three-point land, and that's how they got the win tonight. Lakers committing tons of fouls. Again, most of it on Zion. 26 to the Pelicans, only fouling 11 times. Largest lead for the Lakers, 9. There was a point where – there was actually a couple points in the game where you thought the Lakers would blow the lead open and start pulling away, but – the Pelicans would just come right back in. They'll just keep on fighting. That's why I tell you, Pelicans fans, you guys are going to have a nice future. Right now, you have a young team like this battling with the number one seed in the Western Conference. And in the future, it's only going to go up from here. It's only going to go up from here. Going back to the game, Markieff, you see him getting a little bit more comfortable tonight. I believe, let's see his stat line. He had 10 points, 4 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, shot 4 of 8, 2 from 4 from 3-point land. Again, just a decent game from him, just continuing to get his rhythm in the offense tonight. You can't really complain about his performance at all. He was put on Zion. I mean, Zion, again, too much for anyone to handle, but he did a decent job on him. Kuzma as well, he did a decent job. And I mean, there's nothing really much more you could do. There's nothing much more you could do while guarding Zion. Big body, 280 pounds. There's not much that you can do at that point. But yeah, Morris had a decent game. Really, really like seeing him becoming more comfortable in the offense. And I do see him as a very valuable piece, a very intriguing, valuable piece come playoff time. But just going back to the game, LeBron just taking over at the end of quarters, and especially at the end of the fourth, at the end of the game, he was just bullying Josh Hart, abusing. I mean, Josh Hart's week has not been good, has not been well while guarding LeBron James. That's all I could say. And LeBron, when you see him attacking in the post, I feel like that's the best. That's pretty much his best way for him to get easy offense. Alvin Gentry, I don't know what he's doing, just putting these small guards on LeBron. Every time he's done that, LeBron scores on nearly every single possession. And whenever they do send a double to LeBron, he just kicks it out to a wide open shooter, and bam. That's why you need shooters around LeBron James and not Rajon Rondo while closing games. You need LeBron out there surrounded by shooters or center like McGee or Dwight Howard in the dunker's position. But yeah, I mean, great, amazing, entertaining game tonight. Really excited to see LeBron attacking and closing out the fourth quarter. So kudos to our superstar looking like the best player in the world. Should get some MVP votes. I do see Giannis running away with that award, but if there's a runner-up, it's LeBron James. He gets his, he gets another triple-double. He ties Luka with the lead. I'm not sure what number that is at. I think it's like 12 or 13 triple-doubles for the season. Leading the league, tied up with Luka Doncic. LeBron just, again, scored 30-plus points. Lakers are 19-0 when LeBron scores 30-plus. It's just, again, you can't really say more. He's in his 17th season, still playing like the best player in the world, one of the best players in the world, top two player in the world, and there's nothing more you can ask from him. There's nothing more. But yeah, that's been your Lakers post game show tonight. Again, the Lakers improved their record to 46-13 by beating the Pelicans 122-114. It's been a quick bit tonight by your host Jordan with another episode of the 824 Purple and Gold Podcast. I'll catch you guys on the next one. Peace.